social media, and other means.
Also at that Senate hearing, FBI Director Chris Wray testified that in his 6 months as director, he has seen no evidence of any inherent political bias at the Bureau. He says he can only praise the professionalism of the men and women of the FBI. President Trump's been a frequent critic of the FBI, recently saying that the Bureau's reputation is, in his words, in tatters. American snowboarder Shaun White wins gold at the Winter Olympics in South Korea today, and this is USA Radio News.
On February 16th, from PureFlix,
Samson, chosen by the living God,
a hero will rise.
He has the strength of a god. I saw it with my own eyes.
My name is Samson, and you will face the wrath of God.
Samson, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters February 16th. For tickets and information, go to samson.movie.
Many Christians today will be observing Ash Wednesday, marking the start of the traditional season of Lent, a period of fasting, prayer, and penance leading up to Easter Sunday, which this year falls on April 1st. Lent represents the 40 days Jesus wandered the desert, praying and fasting after he was baptized. Lent will end on Holy Thursday, March 29th. That's when there will be religious services to represent Jesus' Last Supper, and then again on Good Friday, the day he was crucified. So Ash Wednesday today, falling also on Valentine's Day. Interestingly, Easter will fall on April Fool's Day. Back on the subject of Valentine's Day, RetailMeNot.com shopping and trends experts are predicting that American couples will spend an average of $135 on Valentine's this year, while the National Retail Federation disputes that. It says Americans will spend about $143 or $7 more than they did last year. And a neuroscientist says there will be a medical test that will be able to detect if people are really in love by 2028. Dr. Fred Noor has written a book about love. He says this test would use an MRI-style machine to look for certain chemicals in the brain. The chemicals are called nonapeptides. They show up in large numbers when someone is in love. At least, that's the theory. Noor suggests that one day partners might opt in for premarital scans before they say, "I do." This is USA Radio News.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith with Happy to Help, and we're going to start with the weather. Today we're looking at mostly sunny, a high of 50 degrees. Tonight, a low of 37 and maybe some rain and fog. Thursday, high of 61, some more chance of rain, more rain Thursday night, and looks like we'll see some cloud and rains all the way until Saturday when it'll be partly sunny again and high of 37.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. We're here today for Happy to Help, a show about volunteerism and giving back and nonprofits and all kinds of good stuff and learning how to help others and feeling good about it. And today we wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day, and we have a very sweet treat today. We have Tomiko Hubbard, who is the founder of Sweet Wreaths, which we think has something to do with books, which we're going to talk about. Welcome, Tomiko.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Nicole, and happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Thank you. We're going to be noshing on chocolate on the breaks, people, so hopefully you're doing the same. It's a good day to do that. And I welcome you here, and I always want to start out with basically a little brief overview of your background and how that led you to founding Sweet Reads just a short 2 years ago, correct?
Yes. 2 years. It's hard to believe, but it has been a wonderful 2 years so far. So starting with my background, it wouldn't necessarily think that it would lend itself to where I am now, but I'll tell you a little bit about. I'm a New York native, grew up. Child of both educators, so maybe it, you know, did have something, house full of books. Very thankful to have lots of aunties and uncles who are also educators. And then after all that interesting, you know, reading of books over the years, I went to law school.
Yeah, that's a lot of books.
And, you know, really happy I did. Practice for a few years, was in civil rights.
Wow.
Litigation, and have worked for a number of nonprofits over the years during college and growing up, and then worked for a legal staffing agency for a number of years in D.C., working with attorneys and other legal professionals to help assist them with their job searches, and then working with our client law firms. And so all that to say, then I eventually moved to New Jersey with my husband and family, with his company, and, you know, really started to take a look at, again, what I wanted to do, you know, professionally. And after being here a few years, I worked part-time from another nonprofit here. And I really was taking a look one day at my boys' bookcase, which was full of books, but books that they weren't reading anymore. And, you know, beautiful books in great condition. And I really feel like it was a divine inspiration.
Aww, I love
that told me, like, these books need to be in children's hands, like, now. You know, like, not to go and sit on a shelf maybe at a, you know, to just donate them for them to go sit on a shelf somewhere, you know, waiting to be purchased. But that there are so many children who don't have books in the home. And really from, you know, those thoughts and just starting to do a little bit more research on my own really was the beginning of Sweet Reads. And so now I have to, you know, say we're really happy 2 years in and have started to do a lot of work in the community, and we're loving it.
That's great. And the reason I've learned about you, because I was at the Barnes & Noble at the Somerville Circle, and they featured you as their charity of choice for the holiday season this year, and we're helping share books and having people allow to buy books or donate books. So can you tell us a little bit about that most recent event and how all that came together and how it went?
Absolutely. And Barnes & Noble and Bridgewater and Nicole in particular there have been just a wonderful corporate partner. This was our second year working with them as being part of their holiday book drive. And this year we were the largest recipient. And through that, we're able to go ahead and donate to various organizations. So like one here, Safe in Hunterdon.
Okay.
We donated a number of copies of Snowy Day.
Oh, I love that
beautiful
book.
And, you know, just other organizations that we work with through Somerset County, Hunterdon County now. And we also have worked a number of book fairs with Barnes & Noble also. So really, really fun ones like Fantastic Beasts when they came out, Beauty and the Beast. And so through that, we're able to work with children, you know, just show them how exciting reading is. And for us, too, it's a fundraiser.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, just a wonderful kind of celebration of reading and literacy. And then, of course, it helps us to either provide funds and then also books that we in turn then can give to different organizations.
Mm-hmm. And how do those book fairs work? When the book came out, did you have people stationed there to read to kids, or how did that whole event work?
So it was really a true partnership with Barnes & Noble. Sit down with Nicole. We decide we like to have fun. We like our events to be interesting. So part of it will always involve some sort of, you know, reading, storytelling, but then we'll involve craft. crafts, maybe a, you know, a photo book. Recently we did also the Polar Express. And so we had a special guest of Santa came.
Oh, that's nice.
And read, and, you know, hot chocolate and cookies. And so it really just depends. You know, we really like to have the theme very involved, very interactive for children. You know, I also am a avid party planner and event planner. So, you know, really work to make the events celebrate books, you know, as they should be and have children enjoy it.
Right. And then when people check out, they can buy books and give the code, the book fair code, and then that money, percentage of money goes to Sweet Reads.
Exactly. Okay. So people can purchase whatever kind of books, you know, that, that they want to, and they give the code. People can also purchase books to donate to us at that time.
We
usually have like a Sweet Reads list, you know, of books on the table that are suggested purchases. But, you know, however it works, we are truly, you know, grateful for the support of the Barnes & Noble, as well as the customers of, you know, of this area, because it really has been wonderful and has allowed us to do things like now we're working in Manville, a particular school in Manville School District, the Roosevelt School, and donating books. We've started a book club there, after-school book club, and we're donating to their Star of the Week. And so over the course of the year, we'll donate 500 books, new books to
new books,
recipients.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's incredible.
So really excited about
that. Yeah, and the Barnes & Noble was started in New Jersey. The they're based in Manhattan now, the headquarters, but the college, Barnes & Noble College, that owns a lot of the bookstores on campuses is based right in Basking Ridge. So it's all right here. And for people that are looking to do a book fair, I know that they do, they did one for Room to Read for us too, but they do, they will do a book fair for you if you're a school or an art nonprofit or an education nonprofit, I believe. So if anybody's got any of that stuff going on and you want to approach, it's Nicole. And Miriam is also amazing at the Barnes & Noble in Bridgewater. So the book fairs are a lot of fun, generate a lot of excitement.
Absolutely.
Right. So we covered the new books. So how do you go about collecting gently used books? How do you collect some of that inventory?
So again, the community, you know, whether it's the community from our soccer teams or, you know, just surrounding area.
Girl Scouts, maybe?
Girl Scouts. Oh, I'll get to that later. But I've had some great Girl Scout support, Bridgewater Girl Scouts. But, you know, just putting the word kind of out there, talking to people, and I'm still getting referrals from those, you know, from those first donors of people who are interested, people who want to share their books, you know, who are going through the books, taking the time and, you know, deciding maybe which books are keepers, of course, because we all have books that are near and dear to our heart. I still have some of my books from growing up. Shel Silverstein.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The best.
You got to save your favorites.
Yes. But then deciding, you know, that they'd like to share the books. And I think it's so great because it's having children also involved at a very early age with philanthropy, with thinking of others, with giving. And so, you know, that is something that's very important to me as well, and you know, giving to other children. So we accept, you know, gently used books as well. And then we'll use those to kind of integrate maybe a library for an organization that is looking for, you know, additional books, an organization that already serves the community but perhaps is looking to spruce its library up a bit. Or when we have general community events that we're involved in. So we've done National Night Out with, you know, various in Somerville, and then it was in Plainfield.
The police, right?
With the police, and it's a national event, community event during the summer where, you know, just everyone comes out, has a good time. There's different events. And so we've tabled there, and really the children that attend can take home as many books as they want. So we work with them, you know, to try and figure out, you know, their reading level, interests, and our volunteers assist them with selecting the books to take home. But for something, an event like that, maybe we have new and gently used. When we're donating those specifically, let's say a holiday, you know, room for, we did Safe and Sound Somerset, and these are victims of domestic abuse. When we're donating to like a holiday room there, we only are going to then, of course, you know, provide new books for them. So that's why for us, funding is so important, because it also allows us to purchase books, mm-hmm. you know, new books. While the gently used books are, of course, you know, of real interest too, to be able to have a new home and hopefully build children's libraries.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, well, we brought up the police, which is interesting, because I there was a quote that I read about that. The prison system is a big business, mm-hmm. and the way that they project how many prisons, cells and prisons to build is they look at the second grade reading level of children, and then that predicts how many prisons they need to build based on the lack of reading level. I was just shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, why not just teach the kids to read instead of building another prison? I don't know. But, absolutely. I mean, it's a complicated issue, but at least you're...
it's complicated and simple at the same time, right? And it's heartbreaking. But that's, like, one of our main, you know, our main drivers. It's because so many children just don't have the access to books. It's right. not that they don't want to read. It's mm-hmm. not that they're only interested in electronics. It's about access. And so... you know, it's a driving mission for us to be able to provide those access to children who, unfortunately, maybe their parents, you know, can't take them to go buy all the new books that they want, but they mm-hmm. still have that desire. Maybe they're not there to be able to take them to the library right. to go ahead and take out books. And they want to have books, you know, in their home and be, you know, because it really, once you're able to sit down with a book as a child, you're able to think bigger than your, mm-hmm. than perhaps your current circumstances. You're able to dream, you're able to explore, you're able to learn about mm-hmm. other opportunities that, you know, without that, especially at an early age, you just might not get. So
right. Get that brain working.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break and then we'll be back with Tomiko.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we're back with Tomiko Hubbard, the founder of Sweet Reads. She's our sweet treat today for Valentine's Day, talking about books. And I want to share a quote that I got from her website. And it says, "The best candy shop a child can be left alone in is the library," by Maya Angelou. So I thought that was a perfect quote, because it's true. The book opens up the mind and it's a treat, and it gets the imagination going. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about what other local organizations you're working with to donate those gently used and new books that help build libraries for mm-hmm. these kids.
So We really look to partner with other organizations that, you know, service the community in a variety of ways. We have worked with the Franklin Food Bank before and actually have tabled there as well, because, you know, a number of families are coming perhaps to, you know, to pick up food from there and sometimes have their children with them or maybe, you know, have children at home.
Yeah, that's a common collaboration. It makes sense, right? Yeah, food and books.
Food and books. That's what you need. And so, you know, that has been really wonderful experience to be there, to be able to provide books, have children select books, or, you know, other family members select books to take home to their children or grandchildren. And we've also worked with a number of safe homes for people. So Somerset House for people who have escaped domestic abuse. Okay. Again, I had mentioned Safe and Sound Somerset. We've started to work with the Safe Hunterdon now and help to continue that relationship. Also Visions and Pathways out of Bridgewater. Last year we had worked to help replenish their library and just recently had another meeting, and I'm going to work to continue to do that now, and just providing, you know, either informational, like educational texts, SAT prep, and what it is, it's a home for more so for teenagers. So then also, you know, information on careers, books, and then of course just, you know, high interest reads too, just for fun reads too, because yes, they're teenagers, but are interested and wonderful stories.
Say just let them read whatever they want. As long as they're reading, it doesn't matter if it's Captain Underpants or this or that, you know, it's just get them reading, right?
Absolutely. In March, we're going to have, you know, in celebration of National Reading Month, we're going to have an event with Empower Somerset at the Hillsborough Library for families and really celebrate, you know, reading. And we'll have a bunch of activities there, as well as we'll table there and let, you know, the attendees, the children bring home books. So those are, you know, some of the organizations. And then we are primarily focused in New Jersey, but, you know, I'm a native New Yorker. New York always has my heart as well. And so we want to be able to have as much reach as possible. So, you know, last year we worked with the historic organization, the Children's Aid Society, and provided over 1,200 books to their early education group and, you know, a couple of Head Start programs.
Okay.
And last year we actually had our first international book donation as well to a beautiful school, the Elizabeth School in Haiti.
Wow.
And so that was really, really exciting.
Did you have a connection there, or how did that work?
Yeah. We had a mutual friend, and she, the founder of the school passed away a few years ago, but his daughter is now running the school, and it's a beautiful school focused on music. The father was actually a trained Juilliard musician, and they're doing just wonderful things there. And she said the children are just avid readers, just, you know, eating up the books. And so we were able to provide a few hundred books to help them with their library. And right now we're working on a donation to Puerto Rico.
Good.
And yeah, and then recently too, hopefully working with another organization in Nigeria will be a friend this year.
Expanding all over. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So. I just heard on the radio this morning, because they said there's a lot of Puerto Ricans staying in hotels in New York. Mm-hmm. That was a temporary fix for after the hurricane, which was 6 months ago already. It's hard to believe. And so I don't know if they've got kids over there. Maybe you could reach out to some of those hotels where they've got kids staying and donate some books there, because they're trying to extend that stay for them.
Right. That's
wow.
Idea.
And it's great that they're going to Haiti and different places. But the thing people don't realize is it's books are heavy and they're hard to ship. And it's not just like the U.S. Post Office where you dump it in the box and then it gets there. There's drayage and shipping and logistics. It's a nightmare sometimes. So you really have to have someone on the other end willing to claim that.
Yes. And then just, of course, the costs involved. So
yes,
that's always
exactly.
a discussion as well, if it's an organization. And then, you know, we're a growing organization, if then it's an organization in need. So that's always something to factor in as well. But you're right. But we're happy to do it, because, you know, in addition to all of the work that we want to do here, it's important still that we feel to, you know, to reach across as well.
Yeah, I think doing good by human beings, no matter where they live, is a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. And you, so books are heavy and books take up space. So when you collect all these books and you used whatever, where do you store them? Where are these books? I know I had a basement full of books and it was divorce or get rid of the books. So.
Well, hopefully we're not there, honey.
No, I know. After 5 years, I acquiesced.
So we have a home office right now too. And thankfully we have a library of sweet reads right now and we have them cataloged and our great volunteers, I had mentioned earlier, some of the Girl Scouts, we have a really great volunteer, a young lady named Ellie Pan. She's a teenager. She attends Bridgewater High School, but she's been absolutely instrumental in sweet reads over the past couple of years, whether it was, through sorting books or our Barnes & Noble, fundraisers or fundraiser. We had an event at the Somerset with the Somerset Patriots. And reading to children.
He's going
to
be on the show. One of the guy that coordinated, was it Ken Smith? He's going to be on the show in a couple
great.
Of months.
They're great over there. They were a wonderful partner. They did a book drive with them.
Nice.
And then we had an event there. But so, yes, the spaces, which has been great, is that we have received so many books. With books, like you said, they take up a lot of space. And so now our next steps for us are looking for a dedicated space for sweet reads because we think that it would really allow the maximum access for perhaps for children to be able to come to access the books and for us too to just be able to, you know, take a look at our catalog and when we receive certain requests, be able to really donate the books to that particular organization or school, you know, promptly. Mm-hmm. We really do curate our donations, you know, our book boxes. So if an organization reaches out and says, okay, we mostly service maybe, you know, infants through elementary school children, we're not going to send them then, you know, chapter books, you know.
Yeah, it has to be age appropriate, right?
Age appropriate. Yeah. So it really is important. So, but that's time consuming. And of course, you know, it takes up a lot of space. So we're looking to, you know, perhaps maybe partner with an organization that is interested and has, you know, dedicated space, maybe for a sweet reads library or a company that is, you know, willing to donate because it really would allow just for maximum ability to be able to get more books into the hands of children, which is our goal. You know.
Right. And I've been to the Bridge of Books Foundation, which is down in Holmdel, and they have corporate space at Vonage. Mm-hmm. And that's where the volunteers go to sort books, and that's where they inventory everything. And so it sounds like if you could find a corporate partner or a leasing partner or some kind of real estate, business real estate, strip mall or something, somebody, yeah, that would be – because they have a really good operation down there, and they do only gently used books, not new. But I think there's plenty of vacancies around. I think it's just finding the right partner.
Yeah,
that's
definitely.
A great idea.
So that's something that we're definitely looking to do and interested. So, anyway, feel free to contact us who's interested.
Yeah. So the website is sweetreads.org, correct?
It is. Mm-hmm.
And then you've got a space on there for donations because you're a 501c3.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so tax deductible donations. There's a link to be able to, you know, go to our account electronically or, you know, to send a check or just, you know, contact me to discuss. Sometimes what companies do, we've worked with companies that have done a drive at their work and it was really fun, you know, then for the employees, they set a goal, you know, maybe have different prizes around it, but, you know, maybe book drive and fundraiser. So, and so that's been really fun to work with companies that do that and, you know, help incentivize their employees to give in that way as well. Yeah.
Right. And can you tell us the date of the Hillsborough Library event? Do you when's that coming up?
It's going to be the March, is it March 28th?
Okay.
Yeah.
So is that a weekend? I don't know.
It's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be like an after school or is it?
Right. It's going to be from 6 to 8.
Oh, in the evening.
Yeah.
Okay. So people, if they want to come.
So people want to come. They just have to go to Empower. I believe they'll be sending out the information soon, but it's the Empower Somerset and just go ahead and sign up. They're just asking for, you know, families to go ahead and sign up.
For the crafts and different things, so they know it.
Just so we have an idea. And then for children, too, to be able to know, you know, the age range of children, too, for books and everything.
Right, right. And so that's Empower Somerset, or they can go to sweetreads.org, or they can, you're on Facebook. They can find you on Facebook.
Instagram.
Yeah, okay. So you're all on the social media. Okay, that's good. That's good. Good. And I know you're fairly new. Have you thought of establishing a board, or is that on your agenda for doing that?
Yeah, we do. We do have a small board right now. We're going to look to expand. And so we are, that is in the plan this year. We have a very, you know, dedicated, wonderful board right now. But definitely as we continue to grow and these years are looking to perhaps, you know, add additional members as well. You know, just people who want to be involved, you know, who have a passion for what we're doing and interests in children. And we'd love to. We've had really great volunteers as well, and you know, just really grateful for the work that they've been doing so far in assisting with, you know, different projects or just in volunteering to read. And so we are also always looking for volunteers who are, you know, just willing to help and interested in giving. And I think it's been really great to see a lot of the teen volunteers that we've had as well, because I think it's so important for kids to see teenagers involved, right? To see that reading is cool. Reading, and that's like a major part of our mission is not only to just get books into the hands of children, but for children to develop a love of reading, an early love of reading. And so when they see like the cool kids doing it, you know, the teenagers, they look at a different, you know, light than if you and I read a book. They're like, okay, that's, you know, interesting. Right. But seeing the kids doing it too helps to just inspire, and, you know, because they look up to them. So it's been really wonderful to have, you know, the teen volunteers involved as well.
Yeah, that's what Room to Read does. The group that I volunteer with is they start with little kids to develop a habit of reading, because you want them to get in the habit of picking up a book and reading, and then that just develops from there. So I think same thing goes, right? Just get those kids grabbing those books. Can you tell us how the Girl Scout found you? Because it sounds like she's quite spectacular in helping things grow.
Well, you know, how do all good things come out of soccer sidelines, right?
Oh,
there are friends from soccer, and you know, when she found out that I formed the organization, she was very interested in becoming involved. And so through that, we've had the Girl Scouts involved several times in coming to sort books or volunteer at events at, you know, Barnes & Noble or other events that we had, you know, interacting with the children who've attended, you know, even dressing up. They're such great sports, even dressing up in the Harry Potter or when we had the Polar Express and the conductors and everything. So we're really, you know, really thankful. Again, you know, Ellie, I know you're in school right now.
You can send her the link.
Later. And thank you. But it's been really wonderful to see them excited and see the, you know, the attendees, the children excited about, you know, working with the teens.
Did she get her troop involved as well? Is it, or is this her gold award, or what's she doing?
Okay. Well, it's not her gold award, but she did have some members of her troop come, and then the leader for the had come over, and they had all helped the book sorting of that day. And then just individually, she does a lot of work with us as well.
Right. And like you mentioned, March is coming up, and it's always the Read Across America, the Dr. Seuss and all that. So you've got the Hillsborough event. Are there any other events at schools or things you got planned to go with that?
So I had mentioned the Manville School District that we work with. And so they're going to have their wonderful celebration that week as well. And so I'm going to be attending that and, you know, reading one of my favorite books, which I'm still trying to decide, you know, which is really, really hard. It's like choosing between your children, your favorite children.
I know.
So I'm going to go and, you know, be a guest speaker there and and read there. And then we're going to have a couple. I have some other things in the works. One surprise, fingers crossed. I'll definitely let you know if that goes ahead and comes through. But also just some donation events just really throughout March. We have a lot of donations that we're looking to just have delivered to the organizations that we already work with to just, you know, continue to encourage the reading throughout the month.
Are those the new books that are being donated or what?
It's a mix. Okay. It's a mix because for some of them now, the libraries, you know, we have a number of really nice, gently used chapter books. So for some of the ones that are going to be going to our teens, we have like series now.
Nice.
You know, so like let's say our Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. So just to be able to go ahead and donate that. You know, it'll be really kind of mixed because it'll be going to the organizations. And then perhaps for the individuals that they serve too, we'll be looking for the ones that don't, you know, reside there to be able to help replenish their libraries as well.
Okay. And how about your kids? Are they big readers or no? Like I work for Room to Read or I volunteer for Room to Read and my kids hate to read. So,
okay.
So you can be honest.
So I have twin boys who are, I have to say also are my first youth volunteers. My first volunteers are my husband and my great husband, David. Hi, David. And my boys, Miles and Mason. And they do love to read.
Good.
They do, thankfully. And even before I became involved with Barnes & Noble on this level, they were, you know, always very excited about hanging out there. So I'm like, okay, great. You know, at least we go and hang out there now. And
yeah, it's a great place to hang out.
I'm working as well.
Yeah.
So they do. They go through books pretty quickly. They, you know, but I have let them go ahead and choose their own books. And I think that is what's key. But thankfully, we are in the position that they are able to go ahead and, you know, we're able to purchase books for them of their interest. Mm-hmm. I think so many times what happens is maybe children, they don't have the means, their family don't have the money to provide for the books or just the ability to get to a bookstore. Because unfortunately now, you know, a lot of bookstores aren't necessarily that, accessible in recent years. And so we say, okay, they're not really interested in reading. No, it's just that maybe they're not necessarily interested in just the book that's provided in class, but maybe if they had an opportunity to have a variety of books or so, they would discover like, okay, maybe they don't really like sci-fi or drama, but maybe they love, you know, graphic novels or, you know, I mean, or historical fiction. So I think it really is key to try and find out what your child, you know, likes, and hopefully, you know, it'll have a spark.
Yeah. So what do they like? Do you have a couple examples of what they like to read right now?
So they've loved all of the who was books or who is the current books that, you know, the biographies and the books.
Those are great.
Mason is a big Harry Potter fan, so he's just going through, you know, the whole series. Miles was more of a Percy Jackson, and so he read all of those books. And then now into the you know, somewhat of the graphic novels, the anything sports related. Miles was just reading the Nike book. The founder was Phil. I don't know. So I was about to say Phil Jackson, but I think that's a coach.
I'm not a sports person.
He can tell you. But it's written for children though. And so like, again, that's for his interest. He loves sneakers. He loves learning about, you know, shoes and business. And so that was something of his interest. Mason's a lot more, he likes, you know, funny books, you know, a lot more humorous. And so a lot of the books, the titles he's read have been more kind of geared towards that.
That's good. Well, and you mentioned it several times. I think I grew up in a family that values volunteering and it sounds like you're incorporating that into your family values and doing it and being it. So before you started Sweet Reads, were you already doing some volunteer work with the kids or aware of it? Well, you were doing a lot of nonprofit work, but how do you incorporate that value into your family and instill that in your kids?
So it is very important to my husband and I, to our family, to give back in different ways. And so through his job, sometimes we would become involved with, like, let's say the backpacks, like taking them very young when they're, providing the backpacks and, you know, filling the backpacks before. And that was, you know, a few years ago. So they were early on, you know, seeing that. And more so too, just having the discussion and the appreciation for the things that we have. So also perhaps before the holidays, making sure like going through your or birthday or just period of times of year, going through your toys, you know, different items, and then preparing them to be able to be donated and making sure that there are things of quality that another child would want to play with. And so, but having them do that so that they're involved in the process versus me just, you know, bagging up all of the Legos, and having them have the, you know, the thought to think of another child and what another child would like. And so I think that's a very, you know, a simple way to get children involved like earlier on.
Yeah, I think kids are naturally compassionate and empathetic, but it just kind of has to be fostered before they get into the me stage, right?
Right.
No, but I think that's great because I think it's just I was listening to the radio on the way here and they were talking about different things and they said, you know, we suffer when we don't help one another. Mm-hmm. We really do. I mean, people, I keep telling people it's addictive. You can just find that opportunity. That's why I love talking to all these people from different nonprofits and doing different things and helping different people in different instances. And if you just find something that resonates with you and you can use your skill set, and it really enhances your life so much more than the people are actually helping. So
absolutely,
you just have to, but it might just take a little bit of investigative work to figure out what you like to help with.
I truly agree. I think it's like if you really take a look at your interests, let's say someone's interest is, you know, they really, really love golf. And they might say, well, I don't know how I'm going to help anyone with this. You know, it's golf. I just like go and play. But maybe there's an organization, you know, that is in the underserved community. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're volunteering then to teach children how to golf mm-hmm. at a time. So really, it doesn't have to be, you know, sometimes I think people think of like maybe being involved or maybe nonprofit or giving like as something that's
it's not a chore.
It's a chore. Yeah. But I think if you really couple it with like you look internally and say, well, what do I love? What would I love to share?
Mm-hmm.
Then it just will come to you, you know? And then when it does, you're right. It's such a rewarding feeling. Mm-hmm. The fact that you could be able to share that, and then a rewarding, you know, and it's for selfish reasons, but for yourself too, you know?
Like, yeah.
It's just, yeah.
Yeah. No, I make no qualms about it. I'm totally selfish about my volunteer work because I love it. It helps. It's fun. And I think it in this media frenzy world that we live in, making an actual human connection on any kind of level is beneficial to everybody.
Absolutely.
So, all right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with Tomiko.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we're back with Tomiko Hubbard, our sweet treat today on Valentine's Day. She is the founder of Sweet Reads. And I haven't even asked you yet, how did you come up with the name Sweet Reads? Because it's just so catchy and cool, and I love your little logo. So tell us how that all manifested.
You know, I was really looking to marry something of interest for children as well with reading, you know? And so I don't know. There are a number of other names in the brainstorming process. None of them, you know, of course, made it to the table like Sweet Reads. And so from there, when it just came to me, I just knew, you know, that that was it. And then worked with a really great graphic designer to come up with the logo, just with different sketches. And so really, really happy with it. And I think what it does, it, you know, it captures the eye, and then hopefully will be appealing to children to think like, okay, it really is, books are sweet, you know, reads. They're something for the mind that's sweet and appealing, and hopefully they'll love it too.
Satisfy your sweet tooth.
Yes,
with the read.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is it like a little lollipop? Is that what it's supposed to be? Okay, that's what I
thought. And then the book.
Yeah, so cute. I like
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Well, and you can see the logo on the website, which is sweetreads.org,
correct,
or go on Facebook. And then you said we wanted to rectify a date situation. So when is the Hillsborough event?
It's sorry about that. It's March 22nd. So it's a Thursday. It's the evening of March 22nd.
Okay.
So and we'll have more information about it posted, too, as we get closer.
Yeah, so if you want to meet Tomiko or meet some of the team or come check out volunteer opportunities, then and check it out in Hillsborough on March 22nd.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to go back to your board a little bit. So can you tell us a little bit about your – because your team's so important in a successful organization. So can you tell us about your board members? Are they friends that wanted to help? Or
Yes. So, yes, one who has worked in a nonprofit area for a number of years, as well as the world of fashion and just but nonprofit management.
Okay.
Missy Mickens has been involved and really, you know, relates a good amount of information regarding, you know, outreach and stuff to the community from working in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And then also my husband, who's been on a number of boards and currently is and really has a great deal of information about, you know, board management and working, you know, on boards has been great as well.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Good. That's good. And you got that. And when this came together, you said you found the name and you decided. So what made you decide to start your own 501c3 rather than jumping on the bandwagon with First Book, which is based in D.C., or a different organization already out there?
You know, really wanted, I guess, the autonomy to just at this point to be able to form something, you know, of our own.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about children earlier, for our children to see us in founding that and to be able to be involved in the community, really entrenched in this way, and really to have a baby at this point that we could look to continue, hopefully, to grow, to strengthen.
Yeah.
And then at some point, you know, for to grow maybe to other areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so really to build something that would be long lasting and that maybe then at some point would be turning over to someone else, you know, in good hands. And it's needed, you know, those are great organizations, of course. And, you know, historical organizations have been going on, you know, for a number of years. But we still need more, you know, we still need more, unfortunately, you know, there are still so many. And so just to be able to go ahead and, you know, do our part too, and being able to form this. You know,
and did the boys get into it? Do they like going to the events and things like that?
They do.
Yeah.
Except for when, you know, I had them out and it was pretty cold one time. But I promised them hot chocolate afterwards. But no, they
kids
do.
Kids are kids.
They do. And they're helpful. And it's really great to see them. One of our first events when we were doing National Night Out a couple of years ago, it was them and another great volunteer, Jennifer Fleming, mm-hmm. Who I previously worked with. They were there involved with the children coming, you know, helping them select books, you know, giving ideas. So it really is wonderful to see them involved as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing that I find with the reason that I'm so selfish about my volunteering is that I love meeting people and mm-hmm. I love talking to people and I love how the interconnectedness just keeps coming and it's crazy. So you said you wanted to thank a few people that have helped you along your way.
I do. Okay. Yeah. First and foremost, my family, my mom, for helping to, you know, encourage this love of reading, because I do feel that in turn will now allow us to be able to help so many, perhaps other children inspire. And, you know, she's a former, you know, teacher, educator.
Yeah.
And so just that whole community of our, just all of our, are also teachers and educators, aunts and uncles. My sister's a teacher. And so, you know, she's continuing that as well. Of course, my husband and my boys who are so supportive through this and involved and working and believe in it. And then our volunteers, Lynn Francino, who's been, you know, a wonderful friend, as well as volunteer, just really involved in working with our, you know, with the youth at different events and the Gibbs family, the Pan family, and just, you know, all of those who are really in the community who are donating books, you know, mm-hmm. who are by word of mouth are telling other people about our organization or reaching out because they want to volunteer for upcoming events. And so really appreciate the community support, the corporate support, of course, you know, Barnes & Noble, other corporations, the Somerset Patriots. Mm-hmm. We had previously worked with Stop & Shop. They really, we actually had our first book bins there at Stop & Shop.
Nice.
And collecting. And, you know, we just want to continue to grow. So we would, you know, love to you know, sit at the table with other, you know, corporations to talk about ways to partner, to talk about, you know, involvement in the community and giving, and just, you know, and just continue to grow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if people can go to the website and donate, so mm-hmm. Can you give us an example of incremental amounts about what, you know, a certain amount will do, or does it go strictly to books, or how does that go?
Well, with books, I'm a little bit different.
Okay.
Because, you know, just depending on what kind of books that an organization is requesting or in it. But, like, let's say if we say maybe perhaps, like, smaller chapter books or so. So if someone wants to donate, you know, $25, that would allow us maybe to have, you know, five smaller chapter books to be able to brand new for mm-hmm. someone. And so, but if they have an idea, too, we'll work with volunteers too. If maybe they have, we're doing a particular drive, they can donate. We're looking pretty soon to have one that are related to STEM related books.
So oh yeah, like that's smart.
Because we have an organization that has requested those in particular.
Oh yeah.
And for us too, funding will help us to be able to continue, you know, the programming, which is mm-hmm. important too. So the books, and then when we're, you know, doing events and programs, cost money because we want to make them interactive and interesting, mm-hmm. you know, for the children. So they really, you know, walk away with a like, oh, reading is cool. You know,
yeah.
reading is fun. And I have new books. And then be able to grow and, you know, hopefully have staff and the dedicated space, which really is, you know,
space is
most
key.
Important
yeah.
to us right now. So, you know, we'd really appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah. And the programs, is it more engaging people to read with the kids at these certain events, or do you have other types of programming?
It depends. Usually it's a celebration of a particular, you know, a particular book and
okay.
then the events involved.
Okay.
But what we'd like to do and continue to expand is, you know, the reading with parents or with, you know, or with family members. Because, again, that is...
It happens at home, right?
It happens at home. And so, but sometimes, but again, if you don't have the books at home than maybe a lot of, you know, families can't, you know, or they have the one book. And so it really goes hand in hand with being able to then have the access to books. Then you're able to, you know, diversify your library and read and then have that excitement and then have that bonding time. But it's also, yeah, providing the information when we have community events to parents about the benefits of reading with their children.
It's so key because are you reading a favorite book right now, or what's on your bedside table?
Do you know what I'm reading right now? But Marley Diaz, have you heard of her? She's just a brilliant 13-year-old girl from New Jersey.
Oh.
Who started her book drive.
I think I just ordered that.
1,000. Yeah, Marley Diaz gets it done, and you can too.
I just ordered it last week.
I love it. I have my boys reading it.
See, the connection's so weird. Yes, oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Wild.
Yes.
Okay.
And so, you know, she's so inspiring. She's 13. She has, you know, started her book drive of 1,000 black girl books, because basically she was taking a look, you know, of what was going on in her school and just, you know.
And she's in New Jersey, did you say?
Yeah, she's from New Jersey.
Oh, my gosh. I bought the book, but I haven't looked at it yet.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And just about the important, you know, just stressing the importance of diversity of books and being able to see yourself reflected in books, as well as learn about others who don't look like you. And so for us at Sweet Reads, too, that is of utmost importance, because we think it's just so critical to be able to see yourself.
Oh, yeah. Role models, mentors.
Yeah.
Correct.
And just stories about a girl with a dog, a black girl with a dog.
Yeah.
You know, just the difference, you know, we're seeing yourself as scientists. I love the Little Leaders books out right now.
Oh, I have those too. Yeah. I'm like a book freak. Yeah.
I know. You know,
I love it.
Yeah, that's the reader.
Right, okay, well, I'm going to have her on the show. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to track her down.
Well, I'm coming too.
Okay, yeah, totally. Totally. Oh my gosh, that's great. No, that's so important. And you posted that it's Black History Month, so people can find all kinds of books about Black history, and it's good that there's hopefully more of them being published and being written. And
I think it's an exciting time in books, you know, because I do feel like that, you know, there are more books that are just, you know, diverse, about diverse characters, you know, multifaceted character, because that's what people are, you know, just not.
Yeah, not the stereotypical,
stereotypical or just like monolithic, just the traditional story, just fun books about life, you know.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great. Well, my friend in Basking Ridge, she runs Language Lizard, and it does. She distributes books in 40 different languages to school systems everywhere. So they're starting to develop more books. I mean, and Room to Read develops books in the local languages of the kids in Africa and Asia. So that's one arm of Room to Read. So I think, you know, I mean, in this age of where everything's easier to publish and create and it's just more efficient, then there's no reason why we can't disseminate books all over the place, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And allow more people to create books and content too, which is such a fun process. So that is amazing. So is there anything else that we should know about Sweet Reads on this sweet day?
Sweet day. Well, again, I just want to say thank you very much for having us, and appreciate it. To anyone who wants to get, you know, involved, learn more, please visit our website, email address. So just give the simple one, giving@sweetreads.org, or my name, TamikoHubbard@sweetreads.org. We'd love to, you know, chat with you, brainstorm, sit at the table. We have worked with schools as well, to do, you know, different, book drives and everything. And so that's always is exciting. You know, corporations in the area, and then just individuals. Like if you have an idea, a birthday party or something that maybe you want, you know, sometimes I'm speaking with someone now in lieu of gifts, they're going to ask perhaps maybe for people to bring, you know, books. And so, you know, it's really, I think, a great time to have kids involved, people.
It's so easy and tangible, right?
Yeah. And it really gives them, I think, a great feeling as well, you know, young and old, to be able to help someone else. And so we appreciate all the community support so far, and just look forward to growing and doing more, you know, in the years ahead.
Yeah, that sounds great. And even though we're still in the midst of winter, we see spring coming, and a lot of people do spring cleaning. And if you want to, you've got those bookshelves or books somewhere that you want to go through and donate those to Tamika. Mm-hmm. Or like you said, giving up your birthday is a great way to help out someone else, because we don't need more stuff. We need to give more stuff. That's the key. All right. Thank you so much for being on today.
Thank
it was a pleasure.
You. Thank you very much.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news as the National Security Agency now says everything is, in the words of a spokesman, under control and there are no immediate threats following a shooting near the NSA building in Fort Meade, Maryland. Reports are three people are hurt, including a police officer. A shooter is in custody, and the NSA campus is still on lockdown after that incident a couple of hours ago at an NSA gate. Immigration reform tops the agenda on Capitol Hill as lawmakers are scrambling to do a deal.
This is the debate they said they wanted. I said we'd have an open and fair process. We're trying to do that, and the sooner we get started, the better.
Majority Leader Mitch McConnell there saying he wants to see something passed this week. In Chicago, they're mourning the death of a police commander yesterday, shot and killed by a suspect who's now in custody. And this is USA Radio News.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to tell you about KFC's $10 chicken shares. They're perfect to share with those special people in your life. Choose from 6 pieces of my Kentucky Fried Chicken, 9 extra crispy tenders, 12 hot wings, or a bunch of popcorn nuggets. So grab your buddy, your cousin, your dad, your college roommate, or my friend Joan, and head to KFC. Are you there yet? Okay, good. Now get to sharing and eating. KFC's $10 chicken shares. It's finger-licking good.
At participating KFCs only. Hot wings not available at all locations. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
Hi, I'm NHL veteran Jeremy Roenick. You have a few more weeks to nominate your local ice rink for the coveted title of Kraft Hockeyville USA 2018. The winner will have the opportunity to host an NHL preseason game, plus receive $150,000 from Kraft Heinz in rink upgrades. I love being a part of this program, and I've seen firsthand the incredible spirit hockey communities have when they rally together. See complete contest rules and enter.